The epistle for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, see how you walk circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, become not unwise, but understanding what is the will of God. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is luxury, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God and the Father, being subject one to another in the fear of Christ. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4. At that time, there was a certain ruler whose son was sick at Capernaum. He, having heard that Jesus was come from Judea into Galilee, went to him and prayed him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you believe not." The ruler saith to him, "Lord, come down before my son die." Jesus saith to him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." The man believed the word which Jesus said to him, and went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him, and they brought word saying that his son lived. He asked therefore of them the hour wherein he grew better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." The father therefore knew that it was at the same hour that Jesus said to him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. And there was a certain ruler whose son was sick at Capernaum. He, having heard that Jesus was come from Judea into Galilee, went to him and prayed him to come down and heal his son. These words are taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, many years ago in India, there lived a ragged beggar. He lived in the streets. He had no family or friends of his own. And he made it his daily routine to go from door to door begging bread. One day, news spread throughout the village that the Maharaja, or great Italian prince, was going to be making his way through the village the very next day. The beggar saw this as an excellent opportunity to approach the Maharaja and ask him for enough money so that he could live in comfort for the rest of his days. Early the next morning, then, the beggar hurried through the streets, carrying in his hands a brown wicker basket. As he drew closer to the main street, he saw a great crowd of people. The crowd was buzzing with excitement. And after pushing and worming his way through the crowd, the beggar finally reached the street the procession was to pass through. Looking down the road, he was surprised to see a magnificent procession. It wasn't just an ordinary procession. It was a magnificent procession. The servants of the Maharaja led the way. Behind them walked the white Arabian horses, pulling a golden chariot, which was adorned with many precious stones. And inside the chariot sat the Maharaja, dressed in richly ornamented robes. The beggar gazed in awe as the procession passed by him. He had never seen anything like it before. Then, without even thinking about it, he darted out of the crowd and ran towards the chariot. Holding out his hand to the Maharaja, the poor man pleaded for a gift. The Maharaja motioned for the chariot to stop, and then slowly turned towards the poor beggar, and he stretched out his hand as though he were asking for a gift. The beggar, as you can imagine, was dumbfounded. He had come to ask a favor of the Maharaja, but the Maharaja was now asking him for something. The poor man did not know what to do. What could he give his prince? But then it dawned on him. He would give him what little he had. The poor man reached into his begging basket, and he pulled out a few small grains of corn. It was all he had. And so, dropping the basket to the ground, he proceeded to place the grains of corn into the hand of the Maharaja. The Maharaja bowed his head in thanks, and then he signaled for the procession to move on. It took the beggar several minutes to recover from the surprise of having this prince ask him for something. But when he finally overcame his initial shock and the disappointment at not receiving anything, the poor man picked up his basket from the dusty ground. But as he did this, he heard what sounded like the clinking of coins. And that is exactly what he found in his basket. Many gold coins. Coins which the beggar thought to himself must have been placed there by one of the Maharaja's servants during the brief moment in which the beggar gave the prince all that he had. And thus, for those few, almost worthless grains of corn, the Maharaja had returned his gift with gold. In today's gospel, my dear friends, we read an account which bears a striking resemblance to the story of the Maharaja and the beggar. We read that a certain ruler's son fell ill, and there was no hope for recovery. The man was distraught at the prospect of losing his only son, and thus he desperately searched for someone who could help him. No doubt he heard of Jesus of Nazareth, for the fame of our Lord's miracles and his power of healing had spread throughout the land. He heard that Christ was in the village of Cana in Galilee, and thus the poor father set out to beseech our divine Savior to help his son. He traveled 14 hours one way, according to one scripture scholar, from Capernaum to Cana. And there he found our Lord. The man then approached Christ, and he besought him to help his dying son. "Please help my son. He is sick. He is dying. Please return with me to Capernaum to heal my son." As the man made his plea, our divine Savior surely looked with compassion upon him. But at the same time, he knew that the faith of this man was weak. Although he believed, writes St. John Chrysostom, the man's faith was not firm, nor was it full. It was lacking. And our Lord knew this. And so he decided that he would first ask the man for something. As the Maharaja asked the beggar for what little he had, the King of Kings would ask this grief-filled man for what little he had. He would ask him for an act of faith, an act of confidence in him. This our Lord sought to do by reproving the man for his weak faith. And so he said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you believe not." But it was as though the man didn't even hear him. So concerned was he for his child's life the ruler again said to Christ, "Lord, please come down before my son die." And it was to this cry of desperation that our divine Savior responded in 6 short words: "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Hearing this, the man believed in his heart what Christ said to him. He truly believed that his son would be all right. And thus he did as Christ said, and he began his journey home. He didn't ask our Lord for proof. He didn't ask him again. He believed what our Lord said. He picked up and he headed home. But before he reached Capernaum, the man was met by his joyous servants, as we read in the Gospel. And his servants told him that his beloved son was cured. And not only that he was cured, but that he was cured at the very same hour our Lord said he was. Like the ruler in the gospel, my dear friends, so often we go to our divine Savior and we ask him for something. So often we turn to him in prayer and we beseech him to help us, to help our family, or to bless us with some spiritual and material good. And our divine Savior has promised to hear our prayers. "Ask and you shall receive," he says. Notice that he did not say, "Ask and you may receive," or "Ask and if you're lucky, you'll receive." He didn't say that. Our Lord said, "Ask and you shall receive." Our Lord thus promises that if we sincerely pray for something, our prayer will be heard and it will be answered. The Son of God does not make empty promises, my dear friends. He will hear our prayers, and he will always answer them in the way that is best for us. You see, even when it seems that God has not heard our prayers, even when it seems that God has not answered them in the way we wanted, he really has heard them. He has heard our prayers, and he has answered them. But he has answered them in the way that is most conducive to our eternal salvation and for the salvation of those for whom we pray. Someone might think, for example, that it would be good to win the lottery. That's the proverbial example in these cases. He could then support his family more easily. He could donate to the poor. He could help build Catholic churches and schools. He could do a lot of good. And so he prays that he might win the lottery in order that he may do all these wonderful things. And yes, God does hear that man's prayer. But like a good father, God's answer more often than not to such a prayer is no. And this is because God knows that money would not be good for that man's soul. God knows that money very often changes people for the worse. Likewise, God hears our prayers. He hears them when we ask him for certain other temporal favors, such as deliverance from sickness or from other trials and difficulties. But St. Alphonsus de Liguori tells us that God grants these petitions only when they are conducive for our spiritual welfare. That is, only when they will help us save our souls. Otherwise, St. Alphonsus says, God refuses them. And he refuses them because God loves us and because he knows that they would be harmful for our souls. St. John Damascene, the last great father of the church, he tells us that sometimes when we do not obtain the graces for which we ask, we actually receive them by not receiving them. In other words, God gives us exactly what we need by refusing to give us what we think that we need. Throughout our lives, my dear friends, more often than not, our divine Savior will ask us for something before he will bestow the answer to our prayer upon us. We are indeed poor beggars. We are men in need, as was the ruler in the gospel. And as the Maharaja asked the beggar for a few pieces of corn before giving him what he asked, so too does God ask us for something. He asks us for the very same thing that he asked of the ruler in the gospel: greater faith and confidence in him. He asks us to pray with confidence. He asks us to pray that, in the sense that he knows what he is doing, and we are submissive to his holy will. You know, confidence in the spiritual sense of the word means a trust, a reliance on God, a reliance on God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and God's help in the midst of struggles. And thus, when we pray, we must be determined to pray not with the attitude of, maybe God will hear my prayer. Rather, we must pray with the attitude, God will answer my prayer. And he will answer it in the way that is best for me and for those I love. I need only trust that he knows what he is doing, and everything will be fine. Let us persevere then, my dear friends, in our prayers as the ruler persevered in his. Sometimes God will answer our prayers immediately. Sometimes he will not. Saint Monica prayed many, many years for her son, Saint Augustine, and God heard her prayer. We cannot put a time limit on God's help, but we can be sure that he will answer our prayers, and he will answer them in the way that is best for us. For he has promised that if we ask anything in his name, it will be given to us, and it will be given to us through the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Go to Jesus through Mary, then, ever mindful of the words of St. Teresa of Avila: whosoever perseveres in prayer, let him hold for certain that the Lord will eventually bring him to the haven of salvation. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.